everybody, and welcome to episode... I don't even remember, Savannah, which episode is it? The fifth?
No, this would be the sixth.
Oh, wow. So many already. So, welcome, and today we have a very special guest. We have our lovely Jordan Page. And hi to you. How are you?
Hello. I am doing fantastic. Thank you. How are you guys?
We are good. Are you good?
Yeah. Just vibing. I'm happy because I got accepted into that Acting Essentials thing. Student loans approved me.
Yes.
We're good to go.
Oh my gosh. I saw that. I am so proud of you and so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited for it because, like, I know you got to take that one before you take the year, and I'm not sure I'll do the year one. I really want to learn, like, the basics and everything of acting, mm-hmm. and so I'm like, well, this seems like the best program to do that in. It's only 4 months long, so we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping it'll remain awesome. In person because I do not want to do another online thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, then afterwards you can dress like yourself as Orisio, and then you can do all our TikToks. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, except I'm 5'3" and I have the voice of a female. Like, it's gender bent Orisio, I guess.
Oh, God. Yeah, so Jordan Page is I will describe you as an all-round talent because you can do literally everything. You know, because it's so much, I just thought maybe you want to introduce yourself with a few, like, lines, who you are, what you have done and what you're working on and your, you know, your hobbies and favorite projects. You know, just introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, totally. First of all, I can't do everything. I can't dance to save my life. but hi, my name is Jordan Page Sedib. I am a screenwriter, a filmmaker, and I do a few other things as well. But my main primary interests are screenwriting, directing, and casting. I started making films when I was about 15, writing and producing them myself. And so at the moment, I have over 20 film projects that I've done. I went to school for screenwriting, for writing for film, television, and games with Christine and Savannah at Vancouver Film School. And we graduated in August of 2020, and that was a fantastic experience. And since then, I've been working on some of my screenplays. I have two features and a pilot, and I am planning on writing another pilot later this year. But recently that kind of got off track a little bit because one of my features, a production company was interested and bought it from me. And now I'm working on rewrites with them. And if all goes as planned, it will go into production later this year, which is extremely exciting. So that is currently what I'm working on. And I think that's about it. Hobbies wise, I like to read. Obviously, I like to write. I like to bake. And those are kind of my main things, and like watching TV and movies. But other than that, that's about it. So that's me. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. That sounds so. We will talk about your screenplay, but I just thought about it. Like, I miss your baking. Like,
oh,
all
I miss
your,
baking
you know,
for you guys. Oh, I miss baking for you guys.
I live for
that. It was just so great, you know. You just came, like, it was early morning, it was maybe raining outside, and then you came to VFS, to the, what was it called? It's one big room in the end, like, of a hallway.
Oh, the theater, and then, the writing theater.
Yes, exactly, and then you already, you smelled, you know, the cupcakes of JP, and the morning was saved.
Aw, well, I'm glad you guys liked them.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so huge congratulations to selling your screenplay once again. That's so fantastic. You must be so proud. I'm so proud of you, but you must be so proud.
Thank you. I honestly have a really hard time saying that I'm, like, proud of myself for things that I do. I don't know why. I am. Yes, it's difficult for me to say just because I don't know. I feel like I sound conceited or something. But yes, I am. I'm very, very thankful that this happened and very glad that it's going in the direction it is.
I can believe that. So I think everybody, the listeners and we, want to know just everything about it. Like, maybe you can't say so much about the screenplay, you know, maybe, I guess it's maybe a secret. But, you know, we want to know, like, how did you submit it to which, like, company? How did you get the notice, like, the first email? Like, just, you know, talk a little bit about the process of selling the script. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am under contract, so I can't reveal anything about the screenplay and what company is with it. But absolutely, I can talk about the process of it. So after I graduated from VFS, for the past 7 months or so, I've been submitting my screenplays onto writing gigs on Network ISA. And Network ISA is a really, in my eyes, a really great resource for screenwriters. It has writing gigs that producers and production companies put up if they're looking for specific types of scripts. And then they also have other resources such as, you know, articles and I think they have podcasts on there too. Anyway, just a lot of resources for screenwriters. And you can have up as, you know, you have a membership, but you have up as many of your screenplays as you want and you submit them to however many writing gigs you want and everything like that. And so I had been submitting my scripts for, as I said, 6-7 months. And a few of them had gotten to the under consideration level, which basically they looked at a little of the material, but then they eventually passed on it. We're like, that's not what we're looking for. So I was like, that's fine. And then one day I get a LinkedIn message, actually. I get a LinkedIn message and it's from this producer who says, hey, you know, this is who I am. You submitted your screenplay to us on Network ISA and we would love to set up a meeting with you to talk about it. So I freak out. Like, I take like 30 seconds to just stare at my phone. And I'm like, this is no. Like, there's no way this. So of course I write back immediately. And I'm like, absolutely. Yes. It's so nice to meet you. Like, just let me know when you guys want to have the meeting. I'll make myself available. And so I immediately called my parents and I was like, you will never guess what message I just got. Like, I was absolutely floored. And so we had the meeting. I had the meeting with the founder of the production company or the owner of the production company and the producer who had reached out to me from the company. And they had told me about how they had read my script and they really enjoyed it. And they were interested in producing it. We talked about some rewrite options that they had in mind, which I will wholeheartedly say make the script a lot better. I was really, really excited with the ideas that they came up with. And I agreed. I said, absolutely, I'm willing to do rewrites. That's no problem. Then a few weeks later, they had typed up the contract and I had signed it with them. And I did the first rewrite for them, which was kind of on my own. They had given me a few notes, but so I just went off of that. And then I just got done this past week. I had meetings with them Monday through Thursday to talk about the second rewrite and just kind of the characters, really dive into them and different plot points and really beating out the second rewrite together, which was really helpful. And so, yeah, after I get back from vacation, that is what I'm jumping into. And then if needed, which I'm sure it will be one final rewrite, and that will end up being the shooting draft, I'm assuming.
That's amazing. But why did he send you a message on LinkedIn? I thought you'd get a message to your email address.
So it's interesting. I, on my script that I submitted, my email was there. But when I went on to check Network ISA, it turns out he had actually sent me a message on Network ISA only like 20 minutes prior to sending me a message on LinkedIn. And so Network ISA didn't tell me that I had that message. And I was like, I was so glad that he reached out to me via LinkedIn too. Because then, I mean, I got the LinkedIn message and I replied within like a minute. So, I've definitely learned. I try to check my, Network ISA at least like once a week now, just to make sure that there's no other messages. I would have been immensely, I can't even imagine what I would have felt like if I had missed that message entirely. But thankfully, yes, my email was on the screenplay as well. So I think they could have reached out via that as well. But
yeah, now, I, now I have
Now that it's sorry, now that I think of it, I think when I submitted the that was it. When I submitted the screenplay to the writing gig, in the notes, they have a little notes section, and I think I put my LinkedIn in that notes section because it asked for like a list of awards or recognition, and I just listed my LinkedIn because that had all of them. So I think that's how that happened.
Yeah, man, now I have to check my ISA. I never checked it. Like, I
gotta make, just always check it. I mean, I still am trying to remind myself now, like, you know, multiple, at least once a week, but probably multiple times a week just to make sure. But yeah, I was like, network ISA, why didn't you tell me? Like, I really need to know that.
How long did it, like, from when you submitted it to when they contacted you, how long was that wait period?
I think if I'm remembering correctly, it was somewhere in between 2 and 4 weeks. I usually just submit to the writing gigs and then I kind of submit and forget. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I just, you know, it fit it and whatever. But I think when I looked back at it, it wasn't, I can tell you for sure, it wasn't longer than 2 months.
Okay.
It was definitely somewhere between, at the longest, probably a month and a half, but I think it was closer to 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So, but I know that's not the case for a lot of the writing gigs. I think there's a lot of them that it takes a lot longer. The reason why I think they reached out to me so quickly with this one was because on their part of the writing gig was saying that they wanted to produce it ASAP.
Yeah.
And so I think they were really looking for stuff. And obviously, I mean, it's if it goes into production, it's going into production later this year. So it's quick. So yeah, I think that's part of the reason why they reached out so quickly. I think for a lot of others, it's a very different standard of get back time.
Yeah, definitely. Because like some of them, like you'll check and you'll be like, you know, the like set submission deadline, like 4 months from now or something. And you're like, you know, I doubt they're actually waiting that long. But like I've submitted to a couple and like, you know, they haven't even been opened yet kind of thing. Like there hasn't been any.
Mine too, actually. Now that you say that, there's plenty of mine that I know I've submitted to like 3-4 months ago. And it still says that they are received. So they haven't actually been looked at yet.
Yeah. And so you're kind of like, you going to get around to it or are you busy?
Yeah, I wonder too. I need to go check. The last time I checked the writing gig that I submitted this script to, it was still open. They still had the writing gig open. And I was like, oh, which obviously I didn't think they were just looking for one script. They were probably looking for a few. So that would make sense. But I don't know why it surprised me that it was still open, especially with all of this going on behind the scenes. I was like,
I think I submitted to something like it was before like Christmas and they still haven't opened it.
Oh yeah. It's just, you know, then again, part of me, if I get, which the producers are really cool and nice and laid back. And so I think if the time comes around, I might ask them and be like, can I be nosy and ask how many submissions you guys got to that? Just because I'm just not for me to be like an ego thing. I just am curious, you know? Because I'm sure some of them, the one that I submitted to was, it was very specific in certain ways. But then again, I know there's some people who would submit it even if it wasn't exact, because if you can adjust the screenplay to fit it, you know, then absolutely go right ahead. So I wonder, I don't know, I just wonder how many submitted to it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us which like submission it was on ISA? Like what was like the title of it? Can you say that?
I think I can say parts of it. Yeah, I think I can because it doesn't give away anything about my screenplay, but I'll still keep it very vague to be safe. So the posting on ISA was asking for a script to be produced as soon as possible. They wanted a script that had very few locations and a smaller cast, and one that could be produced under COVID guidelines easier than others. So that was, I mean, and the shorter, the smaller cast and the, you know, fewer locations kind of fits under that COVID thing as well. But yeah, so it was very kind of specific in those things that it wanted, and mine just happened to fit it really well. And I remember reading the writing gig and being like, wow, that's funny. That really sounds like my script. So I have to submit it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I saw it. I guess I saw it. It's just, I always have so many characters and so many locations and so many travels and everything, so I knew it wouldn't fit.
Trust me, my other two, my other feature and my other pilot are the same way. They had so many locations, so much higher budget. Like, it's just, it would have not fit by any means with that.
So our second topic was actually, you know, you are doing so much, like, you have so many projects, because, like, people often think that screenwriters are only sitting in their room in front of a computer, like, 10 hours a day and write on their scripts. For us, it's not like that at all. You know, you have so many things on social media going on. We are releasing our Reels and TikTok series this week. You know, the podcast and everything has to be recorded and edited. And then we have the books we are working on and private projects and applications and so much stuff. And that's the same for you, because you're working on your private projects, but on your, you know, your screenplay you sold, and then on your, like, filmmaking and all the other projects I've seen on Instagram. I guess we want to talk about how, I don't know, how stressful that can be, like, the positive negative sides, you know?
Yeah. Yes, there's definitely a lot going on, I don't want it any other way. I am extremely grateful, but that doesn't change the fact that it can be very stressful. This past week in particular, I was trying to get so much done before I came on vacation. So when I'm on vacation, I'm like, okay, I'm not worried about anything. I, you know, can put down work, which never fully happens, but I can try to put down work. So I'm working on the rewrites for the screenplay. In addition to that, I'm a part of a filmmaking apprenticeship program with a nonprofit here in Atlanta called Reimagine ATL, and it's the Emerge Apprenticeship. And so we have virtual classes 2 days a week and projects to go with those. And then we have an in-person session once a month. And we're about to start adding in mentor nights. We're each going to be matched with a mentor, and we have those once a month. And so we have projects that go with those. And I'm learning Adobe Premiere Pro, and we just started with Adobe After Effects. And I will edit if I have to, but I am not an editor. And so that is, like, that's a learning curve for me. So that's been getting used to that. I also have my own show that you guys were on, you know, Breaking Characters. So I do that every week, and I'm having interviews for that and editing and this, that, and the other. And then I have a part-time job. My housemate, Ashlyn, her parents own an acting studio here in Atlanta called Atlanta Workshop Players, and I do receptionist work for them on Saturdays. And then if there's, like, little projects that come up as well, like, for example, a few days ago, I did I reformatted a resume for one of their former students. And so it doesn't sound like it would be a lot, but we had to do a few different drafts of the resume. So, you know, that takes up time, and yeah. And then I do my daily vlogs, but those are fun. Those aren't something I have to do. And then it's just small things. Like, you even mentioned social media. Like, I personally love social media. I love being able to keep up with people that way, especially because I am not someone to, like, give someone a call on the phone. I am horrible at keeping up with people. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So with social media, I can see what everyone's doing and comment on it and be supportive that way without, you know, seeming like I'm a horrible friend, because I don't say anything and just don't talk to people for months. But for me, that's fun. And there's, you know, small projects that have come from social media. Like, I'm an endorser for a music library that's about to come out. The video for that's about to come out soon. So I had to film the video for that. And there's just a lot of little stuff that pops up, which is great. And I don't know how to relax. I know how to be busy. And that's what I like to do. I like being busy. And that's why my vacation is at Disney World, where I can run around the parks all day and be, you know, because my relaxing isn't like laying by the beach. That just, no, it doesn't work. So I love being busy, and it's fantastic. But yes, there definitely is this stressful aspect to it. And I feel like there's something that happens a lot when someone has something really great happen to them, and everything seems like sunshine and roses. And when that person will say something like, yeah, you know, I'm really grateful, but I'm a little stressed. You have some people who would jump down their throats and be like, well, you shouldn't be stressed because like you have this amazing opportunity. And it's like, well, yes, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm stressed. You know, I'm not complaining about being stressed. I'm just saying it as a fact that I'm a little stressed. And so for me, I mean, stress is honestly an emotion that accompanies me every day, all the time, because my anxious self is just, that's the way I live. And I've just gotten used to it. And some of it is good stress. I call it good stress, where it's like, it pushes you to do the things that you love. And it's not stressful to the point of where you're like, I'm panicking that I can't get this done. And I'm worried. And I'm this, that, and the other. It's just like, ooh, this is a little bit of a tight deadline, but I know I can do it. And I'm going to keep pushing forward to do it. It's that good stress. But there is tidbits of bad stress in there too. It hasn't been there too much, but yeah, it definitely is. And I think that's something to remember is even if someone looks like they're living this amazing life or having this amazing opportunity, it's likely that they're not ungrateful for that opportunity. But if they say that they're a little overwhelmed or they're a little stressed, like they're not saying it in a complaining way. It's just that's a fact. That's just how I'm feeling.
When you have things you're grateful for, that also means you have to work for these things, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see how people think, you know, like you should shut up, you know, and just be thankful for everything. But that doesn't, you know, like you said, like you are thankful, but it doesn't change like the fact that it's still stressful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think you can be thankful and stressed at the same time. You know, they don't cancel each other out.
Is it my turn? Okay, cool. I had to take a sec to remember what I was gonna say. Like on the topic of the, like, I just have this crazy admiration for you because you're 20 now, but like, just, I know that it you're talking like it's incredibly stressful and stuff, but just how you can manage all of these things, like, it's crazy impressive. Like, I just, you're talking about how you have, like, this part-time job, you have, like, these internships, you're working on a, like, script that's going into production. Like, it's crazy that at 20 you can, like, manage all of that and still, like, have all the time, like, still want to do all your, like, daily vlogs and everything like that. Like, you know, I try so hard personally to stay focused like that and to, like, want to be like that, but it's just, like, for, as, like, an individual thing, like, it's just so crazy hard. And so, like, I will never not be like crazy impressed with your ability to do that.
Well, thank you. I will say though, I think it's something that just the way my brain is wired, it's not like a conscious decision, I think, that happens, because the amount of times I sit in front of my computer and my brain is going 14 different directions and I cannot focus for the life of me. And I'm like, why can't I focus today? But then on the outside, you've got someone that's like, but you did all of these things today. And I'm like, yeah, but on my to-do list, that wasn't what I like needed to do. But I think it has something to do with, you know, I found out recently and I posted about it that I'm autistic. And something that I really, my brain works is that if I start something, it has to be finished. Yeah. And I think that is part of it, is like, it's not even a conscious decision of me being like, I need to sit down and do this. It's my brain is like, I don't know how to do anything else. So on the outside, that looks great. Right. And it's, you know, thank you for that compliment, you know, and I'm glad that I'm thankful that my brain works in that way sometimes, that that's how it knows how to do things. But at the same time, the bad part of that is that, as I said, I don't know how to relax. I have no idea. I don't think I've ever had an idea, just because my brain doesn't work like that. So there's like, you know, pros and cons of different things to it. When it comes to work, it's hyper focused and it does great. When I'm supposed to relax, nope.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I have a question. Like, if you are sitting down to watch a movie, like without your phone, without your laptop, just watching a movie or like, you know, playing a game, like, can you do that or are you too nervous to like just sit down kind of?
I have to literally schedule it into my day. Like, and by schedule, I mean, it can be like 3 hours before that I'm like, oh, it looks like I'm going to finish this task early. I can do something tonight. Why don't I watch this movie? But usually I am a big multitasker as well. So if I'm watching a movie, I'll likely have my phone in my hands or just to like do something else at the same time, especially if it's a movie I've seen before, but I'm like, oh, I want to watch that one again. As for like, same thing with like video game playing, I have to like schedule it in. I'm like, I have this free time. I'm going to choose to read, do video games or watch something. Which one do I want to do? Like it's not like a spontaneous decision. So yeah, my very, very regimented, which is another autistic trait. Very, very, my schedule is, I mean, every day is scheduled. Even if it's scheduled, you know, 3 hours before something happens, but I used to get really, really upset. And my parents didn't understand why, when something would change less than 2 hours before it happened. And I would be like, no, like I would get upset and I'd be like, I no, like that's not, and they were like, it's just a change. I'm like, no, it, and now I understand why that, you know, my brain just, I need more time to process that and change around the schedule in my head. So thankfully now, like, you know, living and being on my own schedule and when I was in Vancouver too, you know, I had my class schedule, but I had my own schedule as well. And I knew I could make those plans for myself. Which helps a lot. I don't have things nearly as much anymore where it's like, oh, you know, we were going to go to a family gathering and then just kidding, it was changed, you know? So those don't happen nearly as much, which is very helpful because or else that would just be another stressor that I'm like, no, not another one.
That's interesting. I mean, I can see how that can be really positive, but also negative.
Yeah,
but I wish, like, for me, it's like, of course, like, you know, if you have to get up to that, to your, like, daily work, and then, you know, that's something else, because then you have, like, scheduled, like, kind of your whole day until you get home at, like, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's like I wake up, and then, you know, I talk to myself and think, what do I want to do today? Do I want to do some writing or more like work out? Or do I want to like work on this project? Or do I just want to take a long walk with my dog? So it's always like in the morning how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it the same for you, Savannah?
I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I don't want to say things like, oh, I have, like, ADD or any of that, because, like, my dad does have it, but, like, I just find it incredibly hard to focus. I can't do it. Like, I will sit down to do something, and, like, a dog will bark outside, and I'll be like, okay, well, now I can't. Like, I just can't do it, or, like, it's, like, excruciating to sit down and try to write something unless everything around me is in, like, this perfect thing. Like, there has to be like a specific drink, a specific way that I'm sitting, specific light, and it still won't be enough, and it's driving me insane because I'm like, bitch, like, get like work, like get stuff done, like everyone else around you is getting stuff done and like you went to the school, you did everything, but I can't focus. And it's like, I don't, like, I've been trying to figure out how to make it easier or make it better.
I'm not going to diagnose you because I am not a medical professional whatsoever, but my brother has ADD. And recently there's a family friend of mine that believes that her child has ADHD or ADD. So ADHD and autism actually have a lot of crossovers, but they also have a lot of significant differences. And one of them is on the topic of focusing and on doing things. And once again, this isn't everyone, because everyone's different, but, for those that are autistic, a lot of it is that they are able to sit down and work on it and hyper-focus on it until it's done. Whereas for someone with ADD or ADHD, the hardest part is continuing with the task, but also getting to start, because it's like, where do I start with it? Like how, you know, if it's like the example that's used a lot is if you tell a child, like, go get dressed, and they're like, okay, how, like, I know what the end product looks like, or like I know what that means. But so sometimes it's been told that showing a picture, and I know this because this is a friend of mine, I think, has done this, where they showed their child a picture of them, like of the child, like dressed in something and said, like, match this picture. And then the child was like, okay, and was able to go and just match the picture. So it's interesting. So yeah, I'm not going to diagnose you with anything because I am not a medical professional. Yeah. But focus is hard. Focus yeah. is difficult, especially if you do have something like ADD or an attention disorder or something like that, that is constantly trying to sabotage you, even when the other side of your brain is like, hello, I want to do this. And the other side is like, yeah, but we can't. And it's like, no, we can. You're just, yeah, I can empathize with how frustrating that may be.
Yeah, no, it's shitty. And like, you know, people around you are always like, you know, why don't you just get it done? Like, you know how to write. Why aren't you writing? You're just lazy. And you're like, I'm not. I genuinely am really struggling here. Like, I can't hold still. But like, yeah, like the whole, you know, I don't, self-diagnosing and everything is dangerous and stuff like that. So like, until I can actually talk to like a medical professional, and I don't, you know, I don't like to think that I want to be able to do stuff. Like, I just want to be able to sit down and actually get shit done. Like, I don't want to be like knowing that I have something wrong. Like, it just, that stresses me out. And, but I don't know, like, it's just, because I desperately want this to be my career. I want to be a writer. I want to be an actor. I want to do all of that. But it's like, if I can't even focus, how the hell am I, like, how am I going to do that? Like, I can't do that as a career if I'm not, like, it was such an issue in VFS because I would leave everything to the last. I wrote my feature like 2 days before it was due because I kept redoing it. I redid my feature like 21 times. And
I remember
it was so bad, like not bad, like it was written, but even though I hate it, but I couldn't do it. And I was like, what is, and then I just panic. And so I panic, right? So I got really good at that, like getting something done really quickly, but it was just such a stressful thing. And then I would stay up all night and just like I remember trying to do my presentation in game design or whatever, where we had to like, you know, show our design documents. And I had not slept. I was running on like an energy drink, and I barely remember standing up there. I was like, what is going on? And I had spent so much time on it at work, and I just was like, bro, like, why did you leave this? Like, why couldn't you focus? And it's just such a, like, it's a really shitty thing to deal with. And I want to change up because I see people around me succeeding. Like, I'm seeing you succeed. I'm seeing, like, Christine's doing her things, like, you know, winning awards and stuff. And I'm like, bro, I want to get to that point. But like, first, I have to make myself sit down in my chair for longer than like 5 minutes. And that is a struggle.
Are there not, okay, yeah, I don't know about this, but are there not any medicine? Because I think that kind of problem have a lot of children.
There's like Adderall and like Ritalin and stuff, but like, I don't know, like I just, you know, I'm trying to get off of my antidepressants right now because they messed me up and it sucks. So it's like, you know, the idea, like medication, I'm just kind of like, do I want to teach my body to rely on something? But at the same time, like, it's like, if I can't do it myself, then maybe I have to. But the problem with those types of medications is like, because Adderall is like a super abused medication in like college students and stuff, because it does make you focus, but it's also like, you know, it's like kind of like a party drug. Like, it hypes you up. If you don't have ADHD, it kind of like, you know, it's makes you go like kind of wingy. And so like, you know, that's where
I need that. Where can I buy that?
Well, like, that's what I mean. It's like, look at your response. Like, that. And so to get it, you really have to go through like an actual diet. Like, you can't just go up to the doctor and be like, it's Adderall. Like, they're going to be like, no, we actually have to do like a full diagnosis because we want to make sure you're not just going to abuse this kind of thing. So it's like a hassle.
The other thing, Savannah, I will recommend, have you tried, this is going to sound dumb, caffeine.
I do. Caffeine just makes me like I'm addicted to those energy drinks. Like, I drink them every night constantly, but then I like lie awake at night because I drink them at night.
I don't know if that's caffeine though, or is that some other type of,
it's caffeine, but there's a bunch of other, like, it's basically just a chemical concoction of random things. So like,
yeah,
Like, you know, like, what do you mean by caffeine? You talking like caffeine pills or coffee or what?
No. My brother growing up, he really liked Coca-Cola. So he would drink those. And it turns out that the caffeine in those got him to focus. Whereas usually caffeine would make someone without ADHD or ADD hyper. It actually did the opposite for him and helped him focus. And made him a little bit less. I mean, he didn't have ADHD, he just had ADD, but it helped him focus. So I would, if you can, try something like a soda that is, not to say just caffeine, but you know what I mean? Just one of those without like the extra stuff and energy drinks. It doesn't work for everyone. And of course I can't speak a whole ton because I don't have ADHD or ADD. And that doesn't really work for autism. that one's out of the question. And so, but yeah, I mean, if you can try one of those, I know, and my brother was on stuff for a while and then, but he went off of them as well. Cause he was like, I hope he doesn't mind me talking about this. I don't know.
It's okay. We don't know anything about your brother personally. So it's like,
I honestly don't know if he would listen to this anyway. And if so, I'll deal with it when it happens. But yeah, so just something to food for thought.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, we kind of got off topic there. I feel bad. You know, we're here.
No, you're good. You're good.
And now we're talking about Adderall. Yeah, because I wish that there was just, like, a miracle cure, but I guess that's drugs, and don't do drugs, kids. Like, don't go do cocaine or something. Like, it's not going to go well.
This podcast is about screen writing.
I really wanted to focus, so I started doing a lot of coke, but now I have other problems.
I don't know.
Okay, PSA, like one of those old cartoons that they, you know, like when they always used to put like the public service announcement at the end of like those like 80s cartoons and stuff, and it would always be the characters would be like, only you could prevent forest fires and stuff like that. Okay, here's a PSA, I guess, for like anybody listening, is marijuana will not help you write better no matter how many people tell you that it will. You're not gonna do good. We're on the topic. Because I remember, like, even my own mom, she was like, if you really want to be creative, like, you gotta, like, you know, smoke up it. No, it's not, you're not gonna write anything, and if you do, it's not gonna make any sense. Like, I remember I wrote, like, this, I wanted to see, like, if I could write, like, a short story, well, like, after, you know, getting high, and I tried, and it was some dude, I read it afterwards, it was some guy outside a laundromat eating chips, but he was, like, oh, and he started talking to like a crow, and then he died and the crow ate his chips, and that was the short story. And I look back on
but Savannah, that's perfect. You know, that's called experimental movies, that what we talked about last session. That's
no. Like, I don't want to be known for that. Like, I don't want people to be like, yeah, like whatever she's making, it will not make any sense, but you're gonna leave the theater wondering what you just saw.
Yeah, I like the crow.
I thought it was such a good idea until afterwards, and I was like, what the hell is that? Like, you're right, it is. I don't know what it's symbolizing, but it's probably some hidden message.
It symbolizes, you know, like death. And
don't
you know,
do drugs.
Crows are like... That's the message of today's podcast. Yeah, so I don't remember what I wanted to talk about something more about the projects, but you know, I guess that's enough on that topic. I guess the only thing I wanted to ask you, JP, is you know, like your favorite genres you like to write, like your favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My favorite genres are coming of age, for sure. I love coming of age, and I love science fiction and fantasy, and I love a good like mix of drama and comedy. So a dramedy, science fiction, fantasy, and coming of age.
Nice. That was really fast.
Sometimes I have to be prepared for that.
Well, it's just because that after looking at my body of scripts for the past however many years, that's what I write. That's just what happens.
Yeah, I think, do you guys have anything else you want to, I mean, we have talked for like about an hour now and the podcast isn't that long actually, but do you have anything else you want to talk about, like anything?
I'm good. I don't have anything specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Savannah?
Yeah, no, I don't have much else other than thank you so much for being on the show, JP. Sorry, kind of went off the rails a little there. That tends to happen a lot in these podcasts. It's usually
my fault. It's all good. No, it's, trust me, it's all good. It's a fun conversation. It's a genuine conversation. No, but thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun, and it's always great to talk to you guys.